First Peter chapter 2. We finished last week with our series on the word precious. So now I've converted back on Wednesday nights to names of Christians. And this is another name that we've come to in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." I want you to mark three words in verse number 5. It's the three words, "and holy priesthood." And holy priesthood. Turn me down just a little bit, if you don't mind. Just a little bit. And holy priesthood. Now let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this privilege of being able to bow our heads and come to you. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to preach with clarity and power and love in my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you make this time effective. I pray, Lord, that you'll work and move in a mighty way tonight and work and move in a mighty wonderful way on Sunday, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in our study on names of Christians, it's a real blessing to realize what all the Lord has done for his children. See, these different names are like a piece of the entire pie. For instance, even though it may be one person, there are different aspects to it. For instance, we've already considered Christians being named salt, being named light, being named children, being named branches, being named the righteous, and on we could go. Now today we've come to another wonderful name for Christians, and it's the name and holy priesthood. Now I'd like to say in this name we have many wonderful truths about the Christian brought out for our attention and our heartfelt praise. As a matter of fact, studying this name has been a thrill for me, and I trust it'll be a thrill for you. Now in order to help our understanding of what God is telling us, because see, understand that in every name he gives a child of God, he's giving us a different characteristic of his child. In other words, salt, that should summarize us. That's just one aspect of us. And right here he's saying something else that summarizes my children is they are now a priesthood. Now to help us understand this, what I want to do is a comparison between the Old Testament priesthood and our priesthood as God's children. Understand, if you're saved today, you have been made a priest before God. And to help us understand what that means, let's go back to the Old Testament and let's see what a priest summarized his life. Now, there are several things tonight. As a matter of fact, I think there are 9 of them. Let me dig in quickly. If I don't get through it, that's fine. We'll pick it up after the revival, but let me get as far as I can. Number one, something that summarized a priest in the Old Testament that is to summarize we believer priests in the New Testament. Number one, they were chosen by God. Now the Bible tells us this in Exodus 28:1. God says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." In other words, folks, listen to this. The priesthood office in the Old Testament, no one volunteered for it. Nobody was self-appointed to it. Nobody voted for it. They were sovereignly chosen by God himself to be the priest. Now, as we consider this, that it wasn't their doing, it was God's doing, it was God's choosing them, it's interesting to see who the Lord chose. As a matter of fact, I want you to flip back to the book of Genesis with me just a moment. Look at Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis chapter 49. What are we doing tonight? We're looking at the priesthood of the believer, that we are known as a holy priesthood. And to help us understand that, we got to understand the priesthood of the Old Testament. And the first thing that summarized it was is they were chosen by God. They didn't choose it. It chose them. Now look at Genesis chapter 49 verse 7. The Bible says, verse 5, "Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor be not thou united.
For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now you say, what in the world does that passage have to do with our text? Here's what I'm trying to show you, that they were chosen by God. And it's interesting to notice who he chose to choose. And what I mean by that, we see that the tribe of Levi, which is the tribe that God chose for the priesthood to come out of. Are you with me? This tribe was cursed by Jacob. Levi was a violent man. And in Genesis chapter 34, don't turn to it, but in Genesis chapter 34, we see Levi and Simeon slaughtered all the males of a city. Now, in all of this, what we see is we see the Lord chose his priest. And this is beautiful. We see the Lord chose his priest from a tribe that was known for its cursedness, from a tribe that was known from its violence and for its sinfulness. In other words, they were probably one of the least respected tribes in the nation of Israel. But that's the tribe God chose, from which the priest would come out of. Now, in the same way tonight, just like the Old Testament priesthood was chosen by God, we who are God's children were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. In other words, we were on his mind before he was ever on ours. Let me say that again. We were on his mind before he was ever on our mind. John 15:16, Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You know, it's interesting that those he calls are not righteous, but they're sinners. The Bible says in Luke 5:32, Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We see the first thing about the priesthood. We're just doing a comparison between Old Testament and New Testament, because if you're saved tonight, God has made you a priest. And to understand what that means, you've got to go back to the Old Testament and study what a priest was. First thing, he was chosen by God. In the same way, we are saved tonight because he chose us. We didn't choose him. Anybody understand? Anybody with me out there? Somebody shout glory or something right there. I'm saying salvation was not our doing. It was God's doing. That's what I'm saying. They were chosen by God, number two. They were not only chosen by God, but number two, their lot was the Lord. In other words, their inheritance was the Lord. We see this in Joshua 13, 33, where the Bible says, "But under the tribe of Levi," that's where the priesthood comes out of, "but under the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them." Now get this. While all the other tribes were given an inheritance of land, they were to find their satisfaction and their fulfillment in the Lord. Lamentations 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." Now let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we as God's children would find our satisfaction and our fulfillment in the Lord? See, their lot, their inheritance, was not something, it was someone. And in the same way, folks, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with God? Before you answer that, are you content with what you have? You know what discontentedness is? You know what greed is? It's dissatisfaction with God. Let me say it again. If you're not content with what you have, then you're not content with God. And what we see with the priesthood is that they were not only chosen by God, but number two, their inheritance, their lot, was not something, it was the Lord.
They were to find their contentment and their satisfaction from God Himself. And we need a fresh dose of that. We need to learn to find complete fulfillment and satisfaction in God Himself. There are so many things today that call for our attention. So many things that call for our attention, whether it be boats or sports or houses or cars. I mean, so many things. We've got to learn to look beyond those things and say, wait a minute, I can't get any more than Him. I mean, if you're saved, you have the Lord in your life. What else do you need? I mean, think about it. Really, how much of a stench in God's nostrils must it be if we, as His children, He's given us Himself, and yet we're not satisfied? The second major point about the priesthood is their lot was the Lord. Number three. The priesthood, listen to this, in the priesthood they were cleansed. They were cleansed. Now, before a priest, now get this. Now again, we're going back and forth between the Old Testament and New Testament. You understand that? We are believer priests by the grace of God in the New Testament. But to understand what that means, we've got to see the Old Testament office. It was chosen by God. The Lord was their lot. They had to be clean. Now we see this, before a priest could begin his ministry, he had to be cleansed from sin. This is found in Leviticus 8:6, where it says, "And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water." Now this was serving an outward symbol of an inward need. In other words, it was showing them, you've got to be clean before you can be a priest. Now, after they would wash them, they would take the blood of a slaughtered ram and they would place some of the blood on the right ear, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot. Now, you say, what's the significance of that? Well, the significance of that is this. In these acts, in other words, when they were being cleansed by water, after that, they would take the blood and they would put it on the right ear, the right finger, the right toe, the thumb and big toe. In all of this, we see that before the priest could function, they had to be clean from head to toe. Now stay with me here. And could it be that the reason they put blood on the ear, on the hand, and on the feet, could it be that the reason they did that was to sanctify the ears for the Lord and to sanctify the hands for the work of God and to sanctify the feet for the cause of God? And after they did this, then he would take more blood and sprinkle upon them for their consecration in verses 18 to 30 of Leviticus chapter 8. In other words, they had to be clean before they could be a priest. And in the same way, without being clean from our sin, we cannot and will not be believer priest. It's impossible. If you want to be a priest for and unto God, then you must be clean. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Ephesians 5:26, "That He might sanctify and cleanse it," talking about the church, that's you if you're saved, "with the washing of water by the Word of God." The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:2, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." They had to be clean, and the way they were clean is they were washed and the blood was applied. And may I say to you that if the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your heart, He has washed you clean, and now you can be a priest. That's the third point. Number one, they were chosen by God. Number two, their lot was the Lord. Number three, they were cleansed. Number four, they were clothed. They were clothed. Now what does this mean? In Exodus chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 8,
we see the garments placed on the priest that included a belt, a tunic, a robe, and an ephod, a breastplate, a turban with a golden plated front, and all of these garments pictured the priest's identification with God. Now stay with me here. They were not only cleansed, they were clothed. Now in the same way, Psalm 132 verse 9, let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. What a beautiful verse. That God Almighty, just like in the Old Testament, they had to be cleansed, they had to have the blood applied, and on top of that, they had a specific garment that at that time they would put on that identified them. This is God's man. This is God's priest. They are identified with the God of heaven in the same way when you came to Jesus Christ and you confessed your sin to him and you asked Jesus Christ to come in and forgive your sin and you trusted him and him alone. He cleansed you by the washing of water of the Word of God and by the shed blood of his Son Jesus Christ. And then he takes the robe of righteousness that is provided by the Son of God and he puts it on you and he clothes you. He takes your rags and he gives you a robe of righteousness. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If that doesn't excite you, something's wrong with you. That God Almighty has taken what sent him to the cross and he has replaced it with a robe of righteousness. And now when he sees us, he sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the righteousness of his dear Son. And because of that, we are priests unto God. What a thought. They were cleansed. Number four, they were clothed. Number five, going pretty good here. Number five, they were to be obedient. Now we're looking at the Old Testament priest and comparing it to us as the New Testament priest, those who are in the family of God. Flip over to Leviticus chapter 10 with me. Leviticus chapter 10. Now I want to show you something here. Leviticus chapter 10. And look at verse number 1. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. Now notice the next statement, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Can you imagine the shock that took place back when this happened? Here we have some people here, the sons of Aaron, priests. But they did something that disobeyed God. And God struck them dead. Now in this, what we see is that fire came out to devour them because of disobedience. See, the Lord demanded strict obedience from his priest. And you know it hadn't changed. It still hadn't changed. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, life for a Christian, a believer priest, to use the terminology of what I'm preaching tonight, life of a priest, New Testament terminology. If you're saved, that's you, if you're a priest. Life for a priest has been simplified. You know what it is? Take orders from headquarters. Find what God wants and obey. Can anybody not understand what I just said? You understand that, don't you? I'm a simple preacher. You've learned that by now, right? I think it was it Bobby Robertson or Lee Robertson or something said, God said, feed my sheep, not my giraffes. And he's saying, keep it on the bottom level. That's about as high as I can get anyway, you understand? But the truth that's going to change your life is simple truth. And the simple truth is this. If you're a priest, I'm talking if you're saved, obey God. Really, life comes down to that, doesn't it? Either my will or God's will. Which one are you going to choose? Now, in a nutshell, which one of those two do you think most priests, not unbelievers, because we ought to know the answer for them, I'm talking about those who say they're saved, which one of those directions do you think they're going? Their will or God's will? Most of God's children. I don't know the answer to that. I'm just asking. But I think it's sad whenever we've been placed as a believer priest and yet God says, I want your obedience, and we say, no. That's a dangerous way to live your life. Do you know that? Thank God you're not living in the Old Testament. We'd have been dead a long time ago. What are we looking at? We're looking at the priest. God says you're a holy priesthood. What's he mean? He's saying that you were chosen by God. Your lot is him, the Lord. You're cleansed, you're clothed, you're to be obedient. Number six, priests were to have a high regard for God's word. They were to have a high regard for God's word. Now, I want you to turn to Malachi with me just a moment. The book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2. Look at Malachi chapter 2. And verse number 1, Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, and now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yeah, I've cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast. One shall take you away with it. You shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for a fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Now if you're taking notes, I want you to write down Exodus chapter 32, and verses 26 through 28, Exodus chapter 32 and verses 26 through 38, where the Bible says this, 26 through 28. Well, the Bible says this, it says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel. In other words, this is God's word. Put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Deuteronomy 33:10, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. The priest, in a nutshell, all these texts show us that the priests were to have a high regard for God's word. If God said it, they needed to do it. And if they rejected it, they were bringing a curse upon their life. And what I'm saying to you folks, in the same way, God's children who are priests should stand in awe of the Word of God. We ought to make the Bible a part of our everyday life. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10, listen to this. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments or the word of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. May I say this? What a privilege to have a copy of God's holy word in my hand.
What a privilege. And if you carry a Bible, you and I ought to live in it and live by it. Because it's God's book. And as a priest, we are to stand in awe and have a high regard for the Word of God. That's number six. Number seven. Priests in the Old Testament, that compares to the priests in the New Testament. Number seven, they were God's messenger. Now we've already read it in Malachi 2:7. I'll just say it again. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The priest were to be the mouthpiece for God. God was speaking through the priest. They were to give their mouth completely to God. They were God's messenger. Now, folks, in the same way, we who are God's children and He's made us priests, we are to be a mouthpiece for God, telling this lost and dying world about Him. Mark 5:19, go home to thy friends. Jesus speaking right here. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. The word ambassador means a representative messenger. He represents his country and he relays a message. And as we are ambassadors for Christ, priests, we're to be mouthpieces for God. It says, now then we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The priest were to be a mouthpiece of God. Then number eight. I know you're glad I'm going quick here, but number eight. We're just doing a comparison between the Old Testament priest, New Testament priest. If you're saved, you're a priest unto God. And what that means is the same thing that summarized the priesthood in the Old Testament. Let's look at number eight. Priests offered sacrifices. That's something that summarized their position. In Leviticus chapter 9, we see how it was the priest who offered sacrifices to God. That was the priest's duty. That was the priest's duty. You understand? Now, in the same way, if you're saved today, we as priests are to offer sacrifices to God. Now, some of these sacrifices would include the following. Number one, under this, first of all, would be the sacrifice of ourself. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present, offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice. By the way, if you give yourself, your mouth comes with it. You see what I'm saying? If you give yourself, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, everything else comes with it. God doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. And we ought to give Him the sacrifice of ourself. You know what life is? Life is a gift from God. Do you understand that? Life is a gift from God. So what we ought to do is recognize our life as a gift from God and then offer it to Him as a gift right back to Him. Because without Him, we don't have life. Colossians 3:4 talks about Christ who is our life. He is our life. He's the breath of life. He is life. Without Christ, you're not sitting here. Without Christ, your heart not beating. You weren't created. Without Him, we don't even exist. So why in the world should we live life as if we are our own boss? When every breath we take, we're dependent on God for every one of them. Do you see the silliness of that? We ought to offer the sacrifice of ourselves. Secondly, we ought to offer the sacrifice of praise. We see this in Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do you realize God says, when you praise me with your lips, when you sing my praises, when you lift me up with your mouth, God says that's a sacrifice to me, and I'm pleased with it. By the way, has God not earned to be praised in our life? Sure He has. See, where we get in trouble, and all of us are guilty of things like this, especially young people, God bless them,
And when I say young people, I'm talking about like my boy and that young and all the way through teenagers and college age. Especially this age group suffers so much with trying to give God-deserved praise to somebody else. It happens all the time. You see posters hanging up on their bedroom wall. You see them watching things and trying to dress like certain movie stars and trying to dress like certain singing people and certain actors and Let me tell you something. It took me a little while to learn this. I don't know why it did, but it took me a little while to learn this. There's only one person that deserves praise, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God, our God, three in one, one in three. He deserves praise, and He's the only one. He's the only one. That doesn't mean that we don't recognize people. That doesn't mean, you know, that we don't give honor to where honor is due. But folks, we do not go through life praising man. We are to go through life praising God. It is a sacrifice of praise. By the way, let me just get this hit in here right here. That's one reason why we're not going to have contemporary music here, folks. I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because we're not in it for man. We're in it for God. It's not what pleases you. It's not what pleases me. It's what pleases Him. For instance, there's a movement going on about going out. I'm talking about like, you know, somebody like a Rick Warren, the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church. Pretty much his philosophy. I've read that book. I had to for my doctorate. You understand? I'm glad they let me do that because it exposed me to it. And the thing is, there's some good stuff in it, but there's some garbage in it. And pretty much his philosophy is this: go out in your community and do a door-to-door survey and ask what people want. And then go back and put it in your church and make it that. That's not happening at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're not in it for man, folks. By the way, is God not big enough to draw people to the house of God? Sure He is. You don't have to compromise to do that. What am I saying? We are here to offer our sacrifice of praise to God. Praise to God. Praise to God. Not only ourselves, not only our praise, but number three, prayer is a sacrifice to God. We see this in Revelation 8:3, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, let me ask you a question. After all Christ has done for us, should we not be more than happy to sacrifice anything he wants? By the way, you compare our sacrifice to his sacrifice, there's no comparison. You see what I'm saying? Did he sacrifice for us? Sure he did. The cross of Calvary, leaving the portals of glory, living in human flesh, he sacrificed a whole lot for us. And yet he said, all I want you, I want your praise, I want your prayers. Is that too much to ask? Priests offered sacrifices. Then number nine, which is the last thing for our study tonight. And number nine is this. And really, this is probably the first thing that you thought about whenever you thought about a priest. When you think about a priest, what's the first thing that comes in your mind? First thing that comes in your mind is he has access. You see what I'm saying? See, a priest had a privilege of access to God. Now, this is exciting. In the Old Testament, Hebrews 9:7, you can read it later, but only the high priest could enter once a year into the Holy of Holies, not without blood. Not without blood. Now, in the same way, now listen to this. Our high priest, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, offered his own blood in the presence of his Father, spread it on the mercy seat. And because of that, when Jesus Christ died, the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. And what that's found in Matthew 27:51. So what God was saying to us is, just like the believer priest had the privilege of approaching God, in the same way now, because our high priest once and for all, by the sacrifice of himself,
has offered his blood. Because of that, everybody that comes to him is now made a priest, but there's no more veil. It's been torn in two, which means it's not only once a year. It's any time, any place, any day, anywhere, as long as eternity rolls. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We as priests means that we have the exalted privilege of going into the throne room of God and talking directly to him.
You say, Jody, does it work? Yes, it works. How do you know? Because I talked to him today.
And what I mean is that we need to understand tonight the privilege that God has given us by making us believer priests. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, listen to this, verses 19 to 22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, it says this, it says, seeing then we have an high priest, talking about Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When God came down upon Mount Sinai, he told them, don't come near it and don't touch the mountain or you die. But now, because of Mount Calvary, he calls everybody who has claimed his son and knows the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only says, come close, he says, come closer, draw nigh to me, come talk to me. I want to hear from you. And I'm going to tell you, that's a privilege. That's a privilege, and it's only available to priests. That's it. What a privilege to be able to come to God day or night on the basis of the shed blood of Christ. By the way, is it possible that somebody may be here tonight and they're not even sure that they're a priest? Can I say something to you quickly? There's going to come a day when you will need to get a prayer through to God. You're going to need to get a prayer through to God. But the only way you can is if you're in the family. You've got to be a priest. The priest in the Old Testament could do what no one else could do. They could go where no one else could go. They could act like no one else could act. And we who are God's child have been called priest. What a privilege. What a privilege. And I ask you tonight, are you a priest? Do you know the Lord? Number two, if you are you fulfilling the office of a priest? I'm asking, are you obedient just like the priest were supposed to be? Are you holding the word of God in high regard? Are you offering sacrifices to God, yourself, your praise, your prayers? And are you taking advantage of the free access that you have into the throne room of God? I wanted tonight, has it really sunk in what God has done for you when he saved you? The names he gives us a little taste of what he's done for his children. You follow me what I'm saying? Every one of these names shows us something different that our God has done for us. And in this name of priest, my, what he's done for us. He has torn the veil from top to bottom. And he's begging us to come into his presence. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That's exciting to me. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of being called a priest. Thank you for all these names of Christians that you give to us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to live up to the name. Be all that you want us to be. Bless this coming revival. Bless this coming Lord's Day. Bless this Bus Family Appreciation Day. Bless Brother Scott as he prepares to come to be with us. Bless every service. May you draw people to yourself and help us to fulfill the priest office that you've given us within your word. Help us now, I beg of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's somebody here tonight that does not know the Lord. Don't leave without trusting Him. Don't leave without coming to find me or find one of our staff and talk to them. And if you do know the Lord, take advantage of being a priest and access Him this week for Sunday. Will you do that? And beg Him to meet with us. That's what we want. That's what we want. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the bus workers. Please remember that you're going to the men's club.